Hey everybody, this is Benjamin, aka the Terrible Australian, and welcome to another edition of our audio reviews for the site. And for this one, I am joined by, of course, the head honcho of Supermarcy.com, the one, the only Super Marcy herself. How are you going, Marcy?
Hey, I'm all good. How are you, Bede?
Oh, not too bad, thanks. Just trying to be as terrible as I possibly can on a daily basis.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but it's very hard to be terrible 24/7, Marcy.
Well, you got to sleep. You can't always be terrible when you're asleep, right?
Well, I try to be terrible even when I'm asleep. Like I'll have like even in my dreams, I try to be even more terrible than you.
You dream about bad movies.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I dream like I'm in Troll 2.
Yeah,
But other than that, and embarrassing myself for even further as usual. For this audio. Review, Marcy and I are going to be talking about the latest blockbuster that has hit the big screen, and that, of course, is the long-awaited fourth film in the Jurassic Park franchise, Jurassic World.
Jurassic World.
And I don't know, I think this movie, for those out there who don't know what the plot of this film is,
Shame you.
yeah, shame on you. The plot for this one, set kind of 22 years after the events of the first film, the park is, as the tagline says, is open. They pretty much have gone back to reopen the park, and it's at the moment it's pretty successful. Like it's like at, is what I think John Hammond from the first film
Yeah.
always dreamed the park would be. I mean, it's pretty much like Disneyland as depicted in the film. Like you've got tons of people there and lots of kids having a ball, like seeing exhibits.
Like
Sorry.
rides and shops, and there's a resort there where you stay, like on the island. You get there by a big
Like
a ship, a cruise.
and
Yeah.
but also, but unfortunately though, for some, but the owners of the park feel that attendance has gone down in the last few years, and so they have decided that they're going to create a new attraction for the park, and by doing that, they're going to genetically engineer a brand new dinosaur. But it's not any of the dinosaurs that we do know and love. It's a whole new dinosaur that's sort of spliced from different species and as well as some other animals as well.
Which I don't know, are you spoilers or not? No. Yes.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, we'll do spoilers. Actually, no, we won't do spoilers.
We'll just say there's some dinosaurs in there, some animals in there. It's yeah.
Yeah, we won't spoil too much since, we want people to listen to the review, but we'll save more spoilers for the upcoming
Podcast.
podcast.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then of course, like stuff goes down as it since it's Jurassic Park, bad things
Are
tend to
bound to
happen.
happen, yeah.
Yes, and then the Velociraptor trainer Owen, played by Chris Pratt, and as well as the lead scientist, played by Bryce Dallas Howard, have to some stop
Well,
the
she's the CEO, I think.
CEO slash yeah, she is the CEO. Sorry,
Yeah.
yeah, thank you for correcting me,
The
Marcy.
lead scientist is Henry Wu, who people will remember. He was briefly seen in the first movie, but he's a main character who actually dies in the original book.
Yeah, and it's cool that they sort of brought his character back to sort of kind of bridge the gap between, this film and the last film. And of course, yeah, and stuff. Let's say, pardon my French, shit hits the fan,
Yeah.
and of course they have to stop this new dinosaur, which I believe is called the Indominus Rex. Is
The
that right? Or
Indominus Rex, yeah. Well, basically, if you're going to splice together a dinosaur, shit's going to happen. And other characters we have is like InGen is now like a security type of thing, and Vincent
Village.
D'Onofrio's character Hoskins is like in charge of that. And there's a plot where he wants to be able to use the raptors, to be on a battlefield. So that kind of the raptors end up coming into play during the film. But we've also got, like in the first one, how we had Timmy and Lexi, we've got Claire's nephews, Gray and Zach.
Who are played by Ty Simpkins and Nick Robinson.
Yeah, it was a bit of like going, I said to you during the movie, like, see, Ty Simpkins knows Tony Stark. Why the fuck didn't he ring him up and be like, help me out, dude?
Exactly, and you know, like he has fought like the ghosts from the Fervor in the Insidious movie, so he should be able to like handle dinosaurs. So, but you know, I mean, there's only so much. But as they say in the Marvel movies, you know, they, you know, Iron Man can't be there all the time. So, Marcy, tell us your thoughts on Jurassic World. What did you think of this film?
Well, this is really the movie that I wanted. I wanted to see a fully functioning park. You know, you get a lot of dinosaur action. You kind of get, you know, it is kind of what Hammond envisions, and you obviously you got to refer to the book. And I think they have taken a lot of stuff from Jurassic Park book and the Lost World book. So it does feel like the park that he envisioned, and the way he said it, like he wants it to be for everyone, so people do get to go. So yeah, that part is pretty cool. Seeing the attractions is fun, but it does kind of play out the way the first movie plays out.
In a way, it's kind of like, you know, it kind of has the same kind of structure as well.
Yeah,
Like,
it is a little bit different, but it's got the same kind of thing in there. You've got the kids that you follow with. You've got Bryce Dallas Howard's character, you know, kind of, you know, finding, I guess, strength in there to actually be able to do stuff to save her nephews. Whereas I guess you could say Alan Grant in the first film kind of tapped into his parental instincts.
yes.
And you kind of have, you know, you got a clear kind of villain in it. Whereas this one, you have a really badass, like dinosaur. The dinosaurs in Jurassic Park are just doing dinosaur shit. You know, they're not like trying to escape.
Yeah, I think
They do. I think the raptors are the ones that really want to cause the trouble.
yeah.
Whereas in this one, Indominus Rex, you know, is just this crazy thing that's going to cause havoc.
He's basically like the Jason Voorhees of dinosaurs.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, she, because they're all
Oh
girls.
yeah, that's a good point. Yes, she, sorry.
Did someone look up all the dinosaurs' skirts?
Of course, we had to put a Jeff Goldblum impression in there, which
Yeah.
is always welcome.
I think like with the original, it did have a lot of scientific stuff in there that you don't fully appreciate until you're older. And I don't think this had a lot of that, even though it took interesting elements that they didn't have from the books originally. So I think, yeah, it's pretty much the movie that I kind of wanted. It is really weak on character development. But I mean, when you have it's probably really hard to kind of develop them more than they are. But you realize there was probably a bit of a smaller cast that they could developed a bit more in Jurassic Park. And in the book, there's more characters which they kind of took out, which is understandable. So I think a bit more background info and a bit more character development, especially like you want to know. You know what, how InGens become what they are. You know, you just kind of know in passing that Simon Masrani was left to be in charge of what John Hammond had started, but you don't really know who he is, what the background is, and you kind of need a little bit of that.
Yeah.
So I guess a bit of that, but once it gets to the action and the dinosaurs, we haven't seen this kind of action in any of the three films. It's full on. You get to see full on dinosaur fights. It's pretty cool, and it's really well done as well. And it is pretty exciting. It has its scary moments, and did kind of make me feel like that 9-year-old kid when I did see Jurassic Park for the first time.
Oh yeah.
And we were with Chris, who's actually 28 years old, but he was acting like a 9-year-old kid in the film,
Exactly. It was
bringing
probably
his.
just as entertaining to watch him watch this movie as it is to watch the film.
Yeah, he bought his raptor claws,
Yep.
brought the T-Rex toy and two raptors. He got his Jurassic Park cup. And when the dinosaur action was happening, he was cheering and getting excited. When you saw dinosaurs die, he was bawling his eyes out. And then after the movie, he was acting like a raptor, and I think he nearly tripped you over on the stairs coming in.
Yeah, he almost put, I almost fell down the stairs. Just, just be careful of all dinosaur-related accidents.
Yeah, what was more entertaining, the movie or Chris? I mean, I had to comfort him because he was crying. It was a sad scene, to be fair, watching one of the dinosaurs die because of what the Indominus Rex has done.
Yeah, I agree. That's a really sort of, like, really sad scene. And I think...
It kind of mirrors the scene with the Triceratops in the first one, how she's sick.
Yeah.
And they're kind of there, you know, seeing it up close, but, you know, seeing that it is unwell.
Yeah.
And getting a feel for that kind of thing. This one probably hits more emotionally.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah. I agree. For me personally, I really enjoyed the film. I think it delivers a lot as, you know, an action spectacle. I mean, if you want to see dinosaurs and just all the sort of mad, you know, mad type of stuff they get up to once they're unleashed and pretty much attack everyone, you're definitely going to get that in this film.
It's a big popcorn movie.
Yeah, exactly. And it sets out to, you know, entertain, you know, its audience. I do agree that the script, I think, was a bit weak in both... both story, because like I said before, it is kind of does follow the same structure as the first film, and you can definitely like see bits here and there where it kind of pays homage to the original, like you say with the sort of Brachiosaurus kind of dying, which of course, you know, it's kind of does sort of homage, you know.
Yeah, but you also there's homages because they find the original site of the old park.
Yeah.
So they go into the original, like, visitor center, and you see stuff like that as well. A lot of references, which are really fun to play with. But I think there could have been a lot of, you know, more tweaks. You know, I could have done with a couple more script revisions. But I know it kind of went through a lot of changes. Been in development for a long time.
Yeah, probably since the third film, and that was about 14 years ago.
Mm.
And I do agree, like, the characters I do feel like, other than sort of, like, even though Bryce Dallas Howard's character probably is one of the only ones in the film that actually has an arc, and also, you know, you got Chris...
With the boys as well.
Yeah, and the boys, and, you know, Chris Pratt... I feel like some of the characters, like, I don't have anything against the cast at all. I think they all did solid work.
I think it's pretty well cast.
I agree too, and I think they all do give solid work, but I think a lot of them are given sort of kind of weak characters to play with. Like, you know, Vincent D'Onofrio, he's fine in the film, but I kind of feel like he was just, you know, a standard kind of...
I think you need a little more motivation, like... You understand pretty easily why Dennis Nedry is doing what he's doing.
Yeah.
It's established, like, you know, he's in financial trouble. He feels like he's not been treated well. So that's why he goes to their rival.
Yeah.
So you understand that pretty easily. I think we didn't really know. You need a little bit more rather than, ugh, I'm a big, gruff, evil dude who wants to use dinosaurs for...
Yeah.
For weapon welfare or whatever.
I mean, even just like, you know, Dr. Ian Malcolm, like, that character, like, could have easily just played pretty straight, but even Jeff Goldblum, he brings a lot of sort of eccentricities.
Did whatever the fuck he wanted with that.
He does. And, you know,
look at him in the book, it's completely different. He's a serious, very scientific kind of guy.
Yeah, like, it's sort of like...
He takes it to another level in the movie, but when you look at the book, the characters are very similar, you know, within the first film.
Yeah. Sorry.
Just took it to another level.
Yeah, I mean, it's also the actors sort of bringing elements to those characters that make them stand out. I mean, there's a reason why, you know, the characters from the first film are still... Even, I get, in some ways, you could say the same about that the original. Like, they're not, like, you know... three-dimensional, most of them aren't really three-dimensional characters, but the actors sort of bring a lot of elements to those characters that make them memorable.
Probably, aside from Chris Pratt, because that's the kind of guy he is,
yeah,
Owen's going to be the one that you remember from this.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
The original, you remember everyone. Maybe the second you remember Pete Postlethwaite the most, because he was pretty cool.
Yeah. And in the third, well, you know, Dr. Alan Grant's in it, and he's like the only one you
Yeah,
remember
and you
from
kind of
that
just want to forget Taylor Leone's even in it.
bit. Exactly.
Yeah.
But I will say though, like I think the like on a vi like the visual effects, I think the CGI in this film is pretty terrific for most part.
Yeah,
Like you
I
get some
think it
scenes that are not a little subpar, but doesn't take you too much out of the movie though.
Yeah. It's pretty damn good. I mean, it would have been nice to see some animatronics.
Yeah, I would say that would be my biggest complaint about the film. Like, other than the Brachiosaurus scene, there wasn't really any sort of animatronic or practical effects with the dinosaurs other than that very scene. At least ones that I noticed, anyway.
Yeah, I don't know if that was completely CGI or not too sure.
I think it was, because I could you can kind of tell, like, at least that I sort of noticed it right away. It's like, oh, and that's probably why it's. That scene kind of worked on an emotional level because it was, you know, an actual practical dinosaur that they
Well,
created for that scene.
if they do, if they follow this one up, just get Andy Serkis to play all the dinosaurs and mocap.
Andy Serkis should play like the T-Rex in the next movie.
No, actually, I should be the T-Rex. He can be all the other dinosaurs. Or because as we talked about once we saw it, well, Legendary owns like Godzilla, Pacific Rim, King Kong. I mean, there's a big mashup in there somewhere.
They could easily just make like a their own kind of Marvel kind of cinematic universe, just with all these kind
Yeah.
of monsters and all that.
Yeah. And
Now,
then someone's got to bring in Gamera. I've just got to add that in.
exactly. Somebody should. I should reboot Gamera.
You could be mocap Gamera.
Exactly, because you know it's got to do it for the children, man.
Yeah. He's a
Now.
friend of all the children.
Let's talk about like another aspect I want to talk about is, of course, you know, the Indominus Rex, or as I like to call it, the multi-purpose Rex, because
Yeah.
this dinosaur can pretty much do anything, whatever.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that because a lot of the elements of the I-Rex are things that are, you know, taken from dinosaurs in the second book. I don't know if that's intentional or, but and I guess a little bit of a spoiler alert. She can camouflage, and in the Lost World book, they come across these dinosaurs that can camouflage.
Oh.
So a lot of that actually felt very similar, and some of the things it does, yeah, it's kind of a bit similar in that respect. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, I agree.
It's like,
Sorry, keep going.
oh, sorry, all the things that slice with, like, again, spoiler alert, a T-Rex, a raptor, a cuttlefish.
Yes. I
But
just keep thinking of Avengers Age of Ultron because there was cuttlefish mentioned in that movie too.
but another thing from the two books, a lot of the characteristics of the dinosaurs came from frogs, and there's something that they bring up, you know, because with the frogs they change their sex in the single sex environment, but also with the frogs is the way their vision is. So I found that interesting in the books, is why their vision was based on movement for a lot of the dinosaurs, and I think you kind of pick up a little bit of that there where they don't really see as well as they smell. So things like that are kind of interesting little pickups. And again, yeah, the frogs are thought of. And a cool, I think this goes back to the book, like the dinosaurs look like the way people think they look like because it's not a complete DNA sequence and that they would look very different.
Yeah, I mean, there's some sort of like I was reading online today that some scientists are sort of up are kind of upset that the movie doesn't accurately portray dinosaurs. Like they should be most of the dinosaurs in this movie should be having feathers as they would
Yeah, it's a bit silly to say that it's not the dinosaurs don't look scientifically accurate from what we know, because as established in the first film and in a lot more detail in the books, you know, they're using you know, a non-finished or an incomplete DNA sequence, and in the book you've got like version 1 T-Rex, version 2 T-Rex, version 3, for example. Because you've got, you know, they splice or take things in and out of each thing of the dinosaur. So the dinosaurs, for the design to be like what people envision them to be and not what they actually are. They were what they actually are. You would have certain kinds of raptors that are a lot smaller and are full of feathers. And as we know, as they kind of established, you know, 22 years ago when people didn't know as much as they do now, dinosaurs did have feathers. They're very bird-like. And, you know, there's so many different species of Tyrannosaur, but we only see the Tyrannosaurus rex, for example. So the park's dinosaurs are not going to be accurate. And they even mention that they're designed to be what people want them to be. So I think that argument is invalid and silly.
I agree. And, oh, sorry, I decided nearly choked for a second. There's one thing about this movie I need to bring up, and it's actually something I think I talked to you about this the other day, and I'm not going to delve into it too much because it is kind of a spoiler, but I'll try to be as spoiler-free as possible. There is one scene that I found a bit kind of troubling, and there's a scene where a character in the movie gets killed by a dinosaur, but the way how it's handled, it just keeps going on and on and on and on and on, to the point where I honestly thought that it actually started to become kind of mean-spirited, because, and I think people will know what I mean when they see the scene in question, but it just came off as, like, I thought, okay, at first it started off fun, but as as it progressed along, it just stopped being fun, and I was thinking, well, that's kind of mean-spirited.
A little bit much with, that specific bit.
Yeah, and it wasn't like the character, like, if this was, like, say, a villain character, I probably wouldn't have had too much of a problem with it, but it was just, like, a normal character, and I'm thinking, that person didn't really deserve that to happen to him.
And I think, without spoiling too much, in the series, I don't think we've actually seen an on-screen such and such with a female character.
I think you might be right. Yeah.
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 It did feel really mean-spirited. I'm not really sure where that came from, but
yeah. I mean, it's like I said, it just, like, it starts off, you think, okay, this is where it goes, and then it just, like, just goes way too longer than expected, especially when, like, you know, other sort of dinosaur related deaths in the movie sort of happen really quickly and all that. So yeah, I'm not sure what the point of that scene was, but I don't know. I think if there was one thing I actually really did not like about the movie, it was probably that scene. And the more I sort of think about it, the more I'm sort of really turned off by it. At least that scene anyway.
It is weird, but I guess in a way, the specific dinosaurs in that scene, they're ones we haven't really seen too much of aside from the last film. And the whole vision that they've got there with the big, like, aviary, I don't know if I'm even saying that right.
Yeah, aviary.
That's a big thing in the first book. They actually go in there. And it was cool to actually see it because we didn't really get to see it in the original film. And I can understand why. But it was cool we actually got to see it, as it would have been. Those dinosaurs, they're little shits, basically. They're going to play with their food.
Literally.
I can kind of understand for something like that. It's a bit weird.
But one of the things I did like about the film, and I'm pretty sure you picked up on this as well, is that in a way the film is kind of has a bit of subtext to it, because there's sort of like, the film talks about how it's like, you know, we can't just have, it's mentioned multiple times, like, we need to create something that's, you know, bigger and better, and it's almost, and like everyone says, well, they're dinosaurs, aren't they just good enough? And it's like, no, it has to, we need to create something that's, you know, bigger than that. And in a way, it kind of feels almost kind of like a commentary on sequels and also big blockbusters that need to, like, always up the ante with every film.
Yeah, I mean, this one upped the ante
a lot.
The most, I would say.
Yeah, particularly in the last half, and especially the ending, which I will admit, like, even though I did think it was a little overblown, but at the same time, I was like, hell yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's got a lot of great action. There's a lot of cool stuff in it. And if we, I guess, maybe wrap it up now?
Yeah. We'll wrap it up. I think we have, we'll probably talk more about this on the, spoilery, of course, in the upcoming Jurassic Park edition of the podcast. But, Marcy, what is your rating for this film?
I'd say 4 out of 5. Despite its flaws, I had such a great time. It's such a fun movie. So yeah, that's my rating.
Cool. I believe we'll give it, at the moment, I sort of gave it a bit of a 4 on, you know, just after the screening, but the sort of the more I thought about it, probably might be a 3.5 from me, but it might go back up once I see the film again. But at the moment I feel, that 3.5 is probably my rating for it at this present time. So, but I do recommend everyone to check it out, because, I mean, this is, you know, a film I would say that everyone should check out. And from the sounds of it, it's going to have a huge, I mean, very huge opening weekend at the US box office. So
yeah, it should make a lot of money.
And, yeah, I definitely say, if you haven't seen Jurassic World as of yet, definitely go check it out. It's pretty,
absolutely,
it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yep, that's the end of our audio review of Jurassic World. I hope all of our listeners enjoyed it. And Marcy, where can people find you on the internet this week?
You can find me googling pictures of Chris Pratt before he lost the weight.
I don't know, I'll be googling it even before he lost the weight. To say. I'm sorry.
Yes. But really, you can check stuff out at supermarcy.com. You can go to the Facebook page, and I always forget the address, so I'm gonna look it up again. facebook.com/sm.com/superpodcast. You can follow my Twitter, twitter.com/supermarcy. If you are interested in checking out like my online store, you can go to the store. I forgot the link, I've got to look it up. www.etsy.com/au/shop/littlelilystore. Or you can like the Facebook page, which is facebook.com/littlelilystore.
Cool. Whew. I'll put the links for that up on the review post, so people can go straight there. You can find me at my Twitter page at twitter.com/bjermine, or my Facebook page at facebook.com/bjermine, or my fan page at facebook.com/terribleaussie. And as well as, you can check out my weekly writings at supermarcy.com with video reviews, written reviews, podcasts, articles, and other cool stuff. Yep, that's the end of our review. I hope all our listeners enjoyed it, and we'll see you all next time. See you, everyone.
Catch you later, everyone.
Bye.